to A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. Hello and welcome back to another episode. Today, Dad and I are talking about personality types. This is something that we see on the internet a lot, and there's all sorts of quizzes, but we're going to discuss the history behind this concept and what part did Jung play in it, and what is the wheel of personalities, and Jung's creation of the terms extroversion and introversion. I hope you enjoy our discussion. Dad, here we are for another week. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. The spring is springing after Beltane because apparently the sympathetic magic worked because here come the trees and the garden is starting and it's all good.
Yeah. Heather found a worm yesterday and she's like, I've never seen this before. And we're like, yeah, you've seen worms before, but she didn't remember. And she named it Dirt. So it's her pet worm named Dirt. And she knows it has to live outside, but she put it back in the pot and so she can find it later. So that's her pet worm.
Okie dokie.
Pretty cute.
Yeah, pretty cute.
Her reaction though, I've never seen this before. It's like, whoa, okay. The mind of a four-year-old.
It's a very interesting thought, isn't it? I've never seen this before. There's, I guess you'll find out, there's a whole lot of things she hasn't seen before.
Yep. Well, she has seen worms before. She just doesn't remember seeing them last year because she's only four.
Right. Back to our podcast on the ego, right?
Remember on the ego, right. Exactly.
What I told you? Yeah.
She doesn't have an ego yet.
Episodic memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So today it was interesting. It's the first time that I didn't have something planned ahead of time. And so this morning I decided to look at TikTok to see if I could come up with some topics.
And oh so, my God.
I knew that was going to be a reaction. So I looked up Jungian psychology on TikTok.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry.
Nope. No, it's and you would probably be mainly horrified. There's one dude on there who's trying really hard and he seems to be doing all right. But I would say more than half of it was people talking about the lover archetype and it made me very much cringe. but one thing that I saw that was from the dude that was doing pretty good, he was talking about personality types and
okay.
I think he was on point with this, but I wanted to clarify more and talk to you about it because so he said that Jung had eight functions of the human psyche and that four were perceiving and four were judging and that the way that they work is that they're kind of in a line and the ones that are the top are the ones that you use more consciously. And then as you get lower in the list, they become ones that you're using more unconsciously. And so this is the, when you look online and we could talk about internet quizzes if you want, you find out if you're like INTP or ESFS or J. I wanted to dive in with this because I know we've talked about it before, but I didn't know if he was saying it right.
No, he's not saying it right. For instance, it's called the Wheel of Types. So actually, it's a wheel.
Well, I like wheels.
Oh, I know you do. but it is true that ever since Jung wrote the book Psychological Types in 1921, it has been a thing of Jungian psychology that people are really drawn to.
People like categorizing things.
They do. Even Jung himself had to back off and say, that he didn't mean that the types were fixed, that there could be some changes over the developmental lifespan. And I don't see that exactly. It seems pretty fixed to me, but Jung said so himself, and he invented it, so I kind of have to take him at his word when he says that.
Well, true.
There have been always some system of types. I mean, back to the ancient Greeks, as a matter of fact, let's say at least. And this probably comes into your witch community in the sense of the four humors. Have you heard of the four humors?
No, I don't think so. Or if I have, it's not been integrated in there.
Oh, it has to do with the four biles, BILES, the biles. And let's see, I would have to look it up to get all four, but I know that if you have black bile, which is not good,
Oh, I think I have heard of this.
that's called melancholic. And so the melancholic personality,
And then there's a green and yellow
there's a green
one.
and yellow and white, I think. Phlegmagic, phlegmagic is maybe the white. And so even, the ancient Greeks would divide people into types based on their humors. And that was around for a long, long time.
I mean, they used to base like medicinal practices off of your type of bile, right?
That's exactly right. Right, that they would prescribe different herbs for the different types.
There's a show called The Great that's about Catherine the Great. I don't know if you guys have watched it yet.
No.
It's really funny, but one of the characters, he's running. Or he like was running everywhere because the doctor told him he had like green bile or something and he needed to run. And so it's really funny. It's like two episodes that he just like runs everywhere. Made me laugh. But it's because he had green bile. So
So that sounds like the idiopathic medicine as opposed to homeopathic medicine. Idiopathic medicine is you do the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Homeopathic, you treat like with like. But
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
in idiopathic, you treat like with unlike. So if he's running, see, it means he's telling him to do the opposite.
To do the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
And that's
feels
why
stuck, so he needs
he's
to run.
And
That makes sense.
so, yeah, personality types have a long history, and there was a bit of discussion of personality types even in the 19th century, so preceding Jung, and even some psychology. I'm trying to think. I believe it was William James, so that's like in 1860, 1870, is talking about different types of people, in which he talked about the once born and the twice born type.
Really?
And
Okay.
by which he meant there's some people, the once born, who kind of don't question things, and it's life is simpler.
Nice.
Sort of ignorance is bliss, and they don't have neuroses, or I mean, they just go through and whatever happens, happens, and they don't think about it much. That's the once born. The
So
twice
we're twice
borns, unfortunately, ask too many questions and think too much, and there's a way in which that's not simple and makes life more difficult. Yes. Right. Not that I would know what it's like to be once born, but because I've always just asked questions and thought too much my whole life. But there you go. So see, those are before Jung. And then in writing this book, which was his first book after the break with Freud, Jung wrote that after all this happened, which was kind of personally devastating, he felt he needed to figure out what was going on between him and Freud, and also Adler.
Adler? Was that another?
Adler. I'm spacing on his first name. Sorry, he split with Freud just before Jung, and developed his
Oh.
own psychology, which is where again the idea of will to power and the inferiority complex and things like that.
Will
That's
to power, like willpower?
no, will to power would be the willful struggle to gain control
Oh,
over
okay. Other people.
everybody and everything. Yes, will to power.
Okay.
And again, that there are some people in which it's very strong and some people in which it's very weak. So you see, I mean, there is some discussion of personality types, but Jung is thinking about, well, so I need to figure out what happened. So he actually started to think about Freud's personality type and Adler's personality type, and much less his own personality type. And he started to realize that that was part of what was going on. It was a clash of personalities, and that then, in fact, there are many clashes of people have to do with differing typologies. That's the
Yeah.
clash, is that
Course.
you really are different than me, kind of thing, and that we don't see eye to eye because our type makes our makes us function, our personality, in a certain way. So
Interesting.
the first one he came up with was introversion and extroversion. People don't seem to realize that Jung invented those terms, introversion and extroversion.
Us
So
introverts.
on the Myers-Briggs, so I mean, if we have time to talk about how that test was developed much later than 1921, but it is based on Jung's types. Introversion and extroversion is the first one, and there's a way in which, to me, it seems kind of genetic, in that a child is just born that way.
I think that as well, just having dealt
It's
with a lot of children, that they seem to inherently
not
have,
environmental. It's not
internal versus external.
parenting. For instance, I mean, you know what a 4-year-old is like, much less a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old and even a 1-year-old. And would you say that this person is extroverted or introverted?
Initially, we did think that if she was extroverted, but as she's gotten a little bit older, we've realized that it is, even though she likes talking and being with other people, that she's very much thinking things through on her own, that she doesn't need to think it out with someone else at all. Like it is all inside of her. So,
No, she's flaming extroverted.
really?
Oh yeah, flaming. That doesn't, extroverts
Well, no, I know that they can think, Dad.
think.
I know. I'm just saying that I'm just comparing her to like mom, who is like mom and Dave are like flaming extroverts. That's my mom and my brother,
That's
flaming
right.
extroverts.
Fla
But
and
she's not, I don't see her as
well,
being
she
on that same
has
level as them.
you would say the difference is actually in the thinking versus feeling.
Oh,
That's
okay.
what's different. That's what's different. That her thinking
Okay.
is very strong.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
she in fact may be a thinking type. We have to get to the wheel about how you know, which is called the primary function, and by definition its opposite is called the inferior function. That's the
Oh,
wheel.
okay.
The first is some way of determining if a person is extroverted or introverted. And a little bit, maybe this is what slips on the internet. I mean, extroverted does not mean that you like people exactly.
Okay.
And introverted most definitely does not mean shy.
No, I thought it had to
Shyness.
deal with the way that you process think in the way that you think.
So there's internal processing and external processing, and that tracks pretty well with introversion and extroversion, pretty well. Because the real definition is an introvert experiences the world, the internal world is primary, and the extrovert experiences the external world is primary. to the
Okay.
extent that an introvert has trouble taking the outside world seriously. And the
Okay.
extrovert has trouble taking the inner world seriously because it's not primary.
Right.
Hence,
Okay.
there's a gulf of understanding, and it could lead to a lot of misunderstanding between introverts and extroverts.
Yeah, definitely.
Let it say, I always compare it to what charges your battery.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess because you and I are both introverted,
Yeah, exactly. We both have our caves as we sit here in our caves.
we always start with introversion,
Yep.
and then we have to guess about extroversion. But in other words, an introvert can and needs to be in the world and maybe have an extroverted persona to function in the world. But the battery part is that when the introvert is doing things in the world, it's draining energy. It's
Yeah,
draining the
definitely.
battery, like going to a party.
And then you need a week to recover.
That's the charging of the battery. It's like, okay, yes, I spent my battery at the party, but now I have to recharge. And the way that I recharge is by, yes, being in my cave alone.
Right, exactly.
Charges the battery and gives me energy, and then I feel better and I'm ready to go. And it's the opposite for an extrovert, that an
Yeah, exactly.
extrovert needs to be out to charge the battery. So, listening to a podcast about personality types is going to be a draining experience for an extrovert.
For an
And
extrovert, yeah,
yes, and then the
because they
extrovert
can't
was
participate,
like, oh, I
or
no, well, I'm having to think about the inside and
oh,
it's so hard. And then, okay, well, an hour podcast, boy, whew, now I have to go be with my friends, to
right, go talk to
and
them,
charge the battery, see?
okay, I see, yeah,
And again, those are virtually incompatible, right? I mean, they're so different.
They are very different, but I feel like they need each other because that's why so many introverts and extroverts end up together.
Well, that's the opposites attract part, and that it is true. And I think it's because just to live a life, there's so many bases to be covered.
Exactly.
And so, right, if you're a couple, then you need someone with extroversion in the couple
Introverts need an extrovert to go out there
to
for
do certain things, and then the extrovert, I guess, needs the
Introvert.
introvert. There's a famous late interview with Jung in which they're talking about types, and Jung says, it is almost a rule that I don't want to make too many rules, but that an introvert marries an extrovert. And I mean, let's say, I mean, in my work, I have come across a few couples who are the same type. So, two introverts marry or are a couple, and two extroverts are a couple. But you can tell they're very different than all the other couples. And
Definitely.
the two introverts together, they're very quiet. It's
Right. They
very
live in the
quiet.
middle of the woods and they never talk to
Well,
anyone.
no, they have jobs and they do things, but if they invite you to their house for Thanksgiving, you have to carry the conversation the whole time or it just stops entirely.
Yeah, I
And
can
there is no
imagine.
conversation. And as an introvert, that drains my battery just to go to Thanksgiving,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
but then we also have friends that are too extroverts, and extroverts have a way of, when they get too close to each other, then they compete to see
Right.
who is the most extrovert.
They get to out-talk each other.
And
Yeah, it's like
that's
being
a
with mom's family.
very
They're all
different
extroverts.
dynamic also.
Loud.
And I will say, yes, your brother's famous quote, and he is flaming extrovert, is that in a certain city where he lives,
Hmm.
all the extroverts live there too. So he says that his environment where he works is the Super Bowl of extroverts.
Super Bowl of
And
extroverts.
it is, it is. And
Oh, and
he's
he does
like,
very well there.
he does, but he says in comparison to these people, like, I feel not extroverted because these people are over the top. Okay, that's
Oh,
it.
goodness.
Introversion, extroversion, and
Okay.
in the Myers-Briggs, those are the first two letters. So
Okay.
if you're an I in Myers-Briggs, it means introverted. If you're an E, you're an extrovert.
Extrovert. Okay.
And the way the test works is that, certain tests are asking questions that if you answer in an introverted way,
You're an
when
introvert, yes.
if you a answer in, do you like going to parties with your friends? And that's one reason why the Myers-Briggs is not considered to have high validity, as that's a way of measuring how psychological tests work. And that is because introverts tend to be embarrassed about answering only introverted questions. And so
They come out more
they'll,
extroverted.
yes, they'll check the box. Oh, I like going to parties with my friends. Yep, yes, I do. It's like,
Well, and
no,
it's not that I don't like it, it's that it takes my whole week. Like, I think about it the whole week before I go, and then I'm there, and then I need a week to recover.
Right. And also, well, I mean, no, introverts go to parties and love to talk to people, but it has to be people that I know.
Well, yeah, it's tough meeting new people for sure.
If it's strangers, that's and then I'll have to confess also, we can spend the whole time on introversion and extroversion, I guess. I don't, I mean, I was so bad at it, parties with strangers, that I had to be taught. Now, Steve, okay, I know this is hard for you. What I want you to think of is three questions that you can ask someone, and then let them talk about themselves, because everybody loves to talk about themselves. So, and all you need is three questions. See, it's not that hard. You can do it.
You had to be coached.
Yes. And I developed three questions that I use all the time at every party.
Okay.
All
Well, can
like,
we? I know all introverts everywhere want to know what these three
oh,
questions are.
the three questions. Let's see. Tell me about your experience after high school. What was that like for you when you graduated, and what happened?
That I could see, very
And
open-ended.
then if it's a couple, then it's also, oh, how did you meet? What,
Very standard, yeah.
very standard. And
Although nowadays it's always like online.
that's okay. Well, and then no, and then the follow-up question is, oh no, you met online, but what was it that you liked about the profile? I mean, there's always a follow-up question,
That makes sense.
right? And the third one is like, if you could do anything like with your life, what would you like to do?
You're asking people this at a party?
Sure.
Oh, Dad.
Too ser too serious.
It's a juicy, I can imagine you of all people at a party being like, so what do you want to do with your life?
Oh, sorry. I guess I have that problem too.
Well,
It
you
doesn't
always
seem
go right for the like.
it doesn't seem too, but people don't run away from me.
People don't run away from you. Oh, Dad.
Well, at least
I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard.
they don't tell me that they run away from me. Oh, that's great,
Oh,
Steve. Hang on a minute.
sure, right?
I have to fill my drink, and then I never see him again.
Yep, right?
Well, I mean, sometimes that happens. Yes. Okay. All right. All right.
Dare I ask you what the third question
That
is?
was no the third
Oh, that was
question.
number three.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you want to do with your life? I love you, but wow.
It's better with people I know.
Definitely,
Because
definitely.
they know what I'm like, I guess. Again, my personality type, right? I mean, that's what all this about
I
personality type
remember
is. All
mom
right.
telling me about your annual Christmas party at the Young Institute
Oh my God.
and how it was just the dullest thing in the world. Because you're all introverts, it's just a
Yes,
party of
it
introverts.
well not all 90%.
Okay, yeah, well, those 10% is doing a lot of work.
They are, and well, and they control and r run the whole thing, right? Because they're extroverts, and so
Right.
they're because they're not competing with other extroverts. They do very well. Yeah, I put that scene in my novel, Healing Lily, a party
Yeah.
at the Young Institute, and
That's
I
pretty funny.
tried to make it pretty funny.
Yeah,
Okay.
well, because it's funny unless you have to be there.
Moving on. So,
Okay, so
in
we have
con
I and E. Let's talk about these other ones.
well, the so we come back to your TikTok guy.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually four functions,
Oh, okay. Not
not
eight.
eight.
Okay.
There's a way you get to eight basic personality types, yes. But in terms of functions of the psyche, that there are four. And these are the middle two letters in the Myers-Briggs. So if you, this is where the circle comes in, if you imagine kind of a matrix with two axes, right? So
Okay.
let's say that the horizontal line is called perception.
Okay.
And then this is, again, this is before Jung, but it is a basic thing in psychology, the difference between perception and apperception. There's a very,
Apperception?
yes, perception and apperception.
Okay.
And so in psychology, what that means, perception is sheer raw perception, which we all have and we all need, but it's not enough that you have to have a way of filtering and understanding the perceptions. So
Okay,
that's
yeah.
apperception is kind of the cognitive machinery of working with the raw perceptions. The first axis is called the perception scale, of which then Jung says there are two opposite ways of having perceptions. And you would say, in a way, that's a bit controversial because, as everybody knows, the only way to have a perception is through the senses,
Right.
the five senses.
Five senses, yeah.
That's how we get all of our perceptions.
So it's going to be very different for every person, right?
Because we all have the five senses. But Jung is saying there is, in fact, another way to have perceptions that are not the senses,
Oh.
outside of the senses, and he calls that intuition.
Intuition, right. Okay.
So, and the intuition is perception that does not go through the senses.
Yeah, okay.
So his definition of intuition is perception via the psyche, perception via the unconscious, which
I
is
like that.
essentially getting a hunch, getting
Feeling.
a feeling, except it doesn't mean emotion at all, right? Right, a hunch, a feeling, a clue, an insight, except that you can't exactly explain where it comes from. It just, because it's a hunch. I mean, that's sort of what intuition
Right.
is like. And I mean, sometimes nowadays, maybe we think of it as pattern recognition. There is that facility of
I could see that.
we recognize patterns, except we can't say, well, how did you recognize this pattern? They're like, I don't know. I can see it now.
Right. Just found it. Yeah.
That's intuition. And so those are opposites. And
I like
then
that.
let's say with a personality, some people are more on the sensation side and some people are more on the intuitive side, such as me, for
So
instance.
it's sensation and
Is,
intuition. Those are the two opposites.
yes, of the perception
Yeah.
axes. And this is
Access. Okay.
the second letter of the Myers-Briggs. You're either an S for sensation or an N
Okay.
for intuition, because I was already taken
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
by introversion. And one way to think of it is that if your personality is oriented towards sensation, it means you're good with details, for instance. Because sensation is seeing actual details. And I often say, the example is Rembrandt was said to be able to distinguish 16 shades of black.
Whoa.
And he's like, okay, he's a sensation type. Like, as to be a painter, work with color, you have to have a very highly developed
Sense of,
color.
well, yeah, I have a history with black, so
Right. And
just from photography.
I, as an intuitive type, it's like, like an artist would say, I mean, look, can't you see it? This black, like, this is completely different than, like, you see that these are different. And I'm like, yeah, it's black.
Black is black.
But I mean, when I really, it hurts my brain, and it's like,
Oh, just wait
okay.
till you find out how many shades of white there are.
I was like, I guess I can, if I really drain my battery, okay, I guess I can start to see some differences. So that's the detail oriented, whereas the intuitive person is the big picture person, who, again, an intuitive grasp of the whole, not the parts
Not the parts, but the whole.
of a thing. So you would say the intuitive type sees the forest,
Not the trees.
and the sensation type sees the trees, to the point that the sensation type has to say, what forest?
Oh
There is no forest.
no. Okay.
It's like, what are you even talking about? Here's a there here's a tree, and here's another tree, and there's this tree, and the trees are different from one another. They're not the same. So what is this mythical
Forest.
concept? That's a sensation type. And then, like, let's say the primary way that people use Myers-Briggs for the last 50 years is that to think that these personality types have something to do with what you're good at work. That certain kinds of jobs or the certain ta tasks within certain jobs go
Very detailing.
better with certain personality types than others do. So, yes, to be very detail-oriented, let's say, for instance, an engineer,
Very
mechanical
detail-oriented for sure.
engineer, civil engineer, even a computer. Engineering is all about details.
For sure.
It's a
Especially with
very,
engineering, you could kill somebody if
it's
you're
a very,
not,
it's a very one step at a time kind of process. And so to have an intuitive being an engineer, I have,
The feeling about this building.
so I mean, like in the history of computers, you have Steve Jobs and Wozniak. And then you have, Bill Gates and Paul Allen. So they need the other type. So, the out front guy is the idea guy,
Big picture guy.
like Steve Jobs. I see this thing where we don't have to type commands. We have a GUI interface, and let's build that. I want you to build it. And then poor Wozniak is like, well, okay.
Oh,
And then, like, I
geez.
think in your work as a graphic designer, that then it's an iterative process. It's like you pour what he builds it, and he brings it back to Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs says, "Well, no, that's not how I saw it. Like,
It happens with clients all
you need to
the
change this, and you need to change that, and to the point of absolute frustration." But see, you need the sensation and
You do. You do.
intuition to build the product.
That's why I ask a million questions before I start a project, because I'm just like, I'm not going to build out three different versions of this and then have you tell me that none of them are what you were thinking about, because you're going to tell me exactly the details of what you want before I even start on this project.
Well, since I have a weak sensation function, I have realized that I compensate for it with my thinking function.
Well, of course.
That's how I can see details, as in I'm very good at seeing logical steps.
I think
But
that's where it comes in for me too, because
that's not the same
very,
thing as
the sensation.
the sensation, but it compensates pretty well.
Pretty well.
Okay, so that does move us to the second axis. So think of it as a cross, right? Like one axis is horizontal, and now this axis we're going to talk about is vertical, going through, which is the apperception, which Jung calls the judging function,
Judging.
to make a judgment, which is, I mean, essentially apperception, is that you do have to take in all the raw data and then come to a conclusion. And so it's like, well, how are you going to come to a conclusion? Like, what process is it that you use to make
Make a judgment.
a judgment? And then Jung says there are two opposite ways of doing that. And one is thinking and the other is feeling. They
Thinking and
are
feeling.
opposites. And then that's the third letter on Myers-Briggs. So one is T, that means thinking,
Thinking.
and one is F, and that means feeling. Now, we have to explain the word feeling, especially in English, is very muddy and complicated. In German, they have four or five different words for feeling. In English, we just say, I had a feeling, or I'm feeling sick,
There's a lot of
or
feelings.
I feel love. And those are kind of different things. I'm overwhelmed with feeling. So on this scale, in particular, in the Myers-Briggs, when Jung says feeling, he does not mean emotion, emotionality. A feeling type is a very emotional person. No, that's not what it means at all. Emotion is outside of the type system and can be at any point in the circle. I mean, emotion can break out. That's not what feeling means, and particularly the German word is Gefühl. So nowadays, we're talking about what Jung really means is the valuing function. How do you judge different values?
Value. That makes sense.
And in fact, we do have to make value judgments all the time. But if you go about trying to make a value judgment using only logic,
You can be
then
stuck in a circle for a long
you can
time.
be, you would say Spock would have a problem with that. So
Because he's
A couple examples I always use with people is that, for instance, my engineering friend, four of my best friends are engineers,
Engineers, yeah.
three from MIT, right? And so my one engineering friend, picks this car, let's call it an Audi, and then, oh, see my new car, let's go
So
look
all
at
the
it.
engineers are all huddled
And
around
he
it.
explains, I don't know, the valve compression, and like this is the greatest car in the world. And then the comeback is, yeah, but do you like it? Do
Did
you
they
like?
ever think about if they liked
No,
it?
not at all. Never crosses their
How does
mind.
it feel when you hold the steering wheel? How
Yes,
does it feel
or
when you sit in
do you like the color? It's
it?
like, no, don't you see? Look at this German in engineering. It's like, that's like, see, that's a contrast between thinking and feeling, let us say. And then almost the most important one, really, is, let's say, another friend who's a physicist explains to me one of these new breakthroughs in quantum mechanics. A very small thing, a difference between, let's say, Einstein and somebody. Or, well, like if you saw the movie Oppenheimer, there were these differences between the physicist, which
Okay.
Jung would say would be personality types, and the
Okay,
clash of
the clashing.
personality types. Right. I'm sure you've had this experience. You may have a friend who is a thinking type, very excited about something, like this idea,
Right.
and
Super excited.
the comeback from the feeling type is,
Right.
oh, that's great, but is it important?
Is it important? To them it is, I guess, if they've been thinking about it like that.
No,
No, not necessarily.
you can think and be all wrapped up in things that are utterly unimportant. It's like that would be a judgment to have. It's like, well, first of all, let's just spend more time on something that's important.
Important,
But
right.
that's a feeling, kind of a judgment to weigh, what's important, what's
That's not
not
important. Rather
important.
than just going down a rabbit hole, a thinking rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's utterly
Yeah.
unimportant.
I know we've both done that plenty of times.
All right. Well, I like to, but
It's fun for the thinkers, right? We like going down
so
rabbit holes.
like back in jobs and things like that, I mean, mostly what you see when they talk about the feeling type or the valuing type, they say, for instance, let's say that you're in the art world. And then at an auction, explain why this painting is more valuable than this painting. Why does this have more value?
Interesting, yeah.
And the feeling type is, well, duh, isn't it obvious? Like,
Right?
look,
You can
I mean,
just look at it,
this is
yeah.
worth 100 times more than this. It makes no logical sense that this is so much more
Right.
valuable than this. Like, well, yeah, it doesn't make logical sense, but it is.
I think about that at museums fairly frequently.
The other example is an actual real discussion I had with my brother one time when we had a company, and I was trying to explain marketing to him because he was a total
Okay.
propeller head in engineering type. I said, oh, no, look, marketing is simple.
Right.
We're going to sell a red bottle and it's going to cost $10. Then we're going to sell a blue bottle and we're going to say that that bottle costs $100. Which bottle is going to sell more? And the answer is the blue bottle that costs $100 is going to sell more than the red bottle that, and there's absolutely no difference between the bottles except that one is red and one is blue, and that we put a different price on the two
On
things.
them, huh?
Because people see 100 and they think it's more valuable.
More valuable. Well, then that's, they always say not to undersell yourself, that
I
it,
mean, and he's like, that's stupid. It's like it's a gimmick,
maybe.
like that's stupid. They're the same, and why wouldn't you just buy the $10 bottle? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's marketing. So
Because the blue bottle is special.
it is, well, it must be because it
If
costs
it's
it.
$100,
It costs like 10 times more. And I want to see myself as being special, so I'll
There's
buy, and
that.
everybody will know because I have a blue bottle that, ooh.
Right. What's the thing with the Stanley cups right now? I don't know if you've seen those at all.
Oh, I
The
have now
mugs
I'm
that
hearing.
are,
How mu how much do those go for?
I don't know, as I don't have one, but I'm guessing, I bet it's like 45, 50 bucks. Like, because you can get one at Walmart for like 15, but it's not the name brand. I don't have the name brand,
Exactly. See?
right?
That's stupid.
Well, as someone who grew up thrifting, yes, I think
See, I mean, but
that is stupid.
that's also the feeling versus thinking. See what I mean?
Yeah, I get
But
that.
there has to be a way of making a judgment or ha having apperception.
Right.
So
It makes sense.
those four, oh, and as the third letter, right, T is thinking, F is feeling.
Feeling.
Those are the four functions of the psyche, as Jung calls it.
Okay. So this guy on TikTok was just wrong when he said eight.
Because Jung speaks specifically of the four functions
Four functions.
of the psyche, which is thinking, feeling, sensation and intuition.
Okay. That makes sense. So
Now,
those are the middle two. And then the last one.
so is again back to this J axis and the P axis,
Right.
is it is the way the test uses to determine which of those functions is the strongest in you.
Oh, okay.
So by definition, if you score as a J, it means your judgment fu function, whichever of the two it is your strongest function. So if you're a
Okay.
TJ, it means thinking is
Thinking.
your number one,
Okay.
your primary function.
Okay.
And then by definition, its opposite is
Yeah.
your fourth function. See, therefore. So that feeling is your number four, or your inferior function as Jung, the least developed.
Okay.
So that then when we get it into the four functions, if you're a P, then by definition, thinking and feeling are the auxiliary functions, two and three,
Right, the secondary.
because you're a P, because P
Right.
means P is the strongest. And so
Okay.
either it's intuition or
Or
sensation
sensation. Interesting.
would be your number one, and then its opposite, by definition, would be your number four, the
Okay.
inferior function. So
Function. Yeah.
that's what the J
Okay.
and the P
Are letting you know. So it's just
refer
relating
to,
back to,
as
yeah.
sort of in this, the Myers-Briggs has been around so long, and when it's used for jobs and things like that, they put more weight on these last two letters, J and P, because it's sort of, well, especially in a work situation, the perceiving type then is always concerned with getting the most data.
Well, okay, yeah.
And the J type is always concerned with coming to a decision.
I can
So
see that.
let's say at your mother's work, and since she's the, extrovert feeling judging type,
Yeah.
she has had a tendency to work places where all of the people there are peace.
Right. And she's the one that makes all the decisions.
Well, so she's the one who pushes them
Yeah, to
to.
make decisions.
They
So.
can talk for hours. The meetings go on forever. Well, it could be like this. Oh, it could be like
Yeah.
that. Have we really thought about this? And it never stops.
Yep, that would drive mom up the wall for
So
sure.
the J has to jump in and say, yeah, all this is well and good, folks, but what are we going to do? And then they sort of shake their heads and wake up and say, oh, right. See,
It's been 3 hours that we're talking about this, and
we
yeah.
could have done it in 10 minutes, but the P's don't feel right unless they've gone over every angle.
Right. They need to talk about it. Yeah. Or yeah. That's pretty funny.
So there you go. Those are the four types.
Yeah.
And then the wheel is that, some people are thinking types, some people are sensation types, some people are intuitive types, and some people are feeling types. In that sense, the number one function, I've always said, it's kind of like handedness.
Like right-handed and left-handed?
Exactly. So that, let's say,
Oh.
if you're right-handed, you lean on your right hand. And
Yes,
by
yeah.
using it so much, it is more developed.
Yeah, if I had to sign something with my left hand, I would
And
have a
your
big
left
problem.
hand, if you're right-handed, is your weaker side. And because you don't use it, and it feels uncomfortable to use it, it remains fairly undeveloped. So that's where this distinction between the primary function and the inferior function comes in. It has to do with what is developed. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
So this TikTok guy that was saying the more inferior ones, he was like making them a line with, he's taking his fingers and like putting them in a line, and he's like, your inferior ones are really close, and then this is the unconscious, and then this, the lowest one is, you're doing it basically unconsciously because you're not aware of it. And
Well,
is that true? Like,
Jung says that Indeed, your least developed function by definition means it's the most unconscious. So that your experiences with the unconscious may in fact come through the inferior function. But they will be the least developed. It will be instinctual as opposed to thought out. So that, let's say, if you're a thinking type, like we've been talking about, then the feeling function will come through, because you have to have a feeling function, even if it's weak, unconsciously, in the sense that you will have all these unexamined values. Like, you won't be developed or sophisticated at discriminating values. You'll just, I like black. Period. Or I like this. Well, you could try some, like, no, I like this. That's an underdeveloped valuing function, right? It's primitive. It's unconscious. That's what that means.
I do like that.
Okay. And then now to add the full circle would be to add the auxiliary functions, which would be, the number two and the number three functions. So if you think about it, everybody has to have both perception and apperception. In other words, you have to have perception and you have to have judgment and you have to have a way of doing it. On the Myers-Briggs, then, whether you're a J or a P, which determines which is strongest, the two side functions will be two and three. So, in other words, let's say, speaking of J's, and feeling being number one, that means for that person, their number two is going to be whatever the second letter says. It could be sensation as number two, could be in intuition, which however they answered the questions, that come out that way. So that the number two is combined with the number one to function in the world, basically. So let's say if I am primarily an intuitive type, right? INTP, that's me. That means that the T is my second function, number two, so that the T is helping, supporting intuition.
So yeah, okay. So that would, so it would be N would be number one, T would be number two.
So because it's used a lot, the two gets developed. So
And
for
so then
instance,
what would three and four would be the,
four is the opposite of one.
so if that's N, then that would be the
Right, so three is,
sensation would be number four.
yes.
And which leaves
So not,
the,
if number two is the thinking, because it says T,
yeah,
then
then
the number three is feeling.
feeling. Okay, that makes sense.
So for instance, many people would say I'm a thinking type, or you would listen to this podcast and think that I'm a very pedantic little professor. Because that's what eggheads are like, right? As a type, which would be the thinking type with no sense of value. It's like, okay, yes, all this, but I don't care. Nobody cares. And what's the value? See what I
What's
mean?
the value?
And what's interesting, but I'm not a thinking type. I'm an intuitive type.
Intuitive type,
But my thinking is so strong because it was developed.
Developed.
And you would say in college, in grad school, that again, because I have the T, I was drawn to that kind of thing. And that certainly higher education, again, in the wheel of types, higher education is built for people that are thinking types. And it is designed and run by people who are thinking types.
It is a place of thinking, for sure.
Which is why then other people are like, what, I'm not into this. I did not have a good experience in college. Yeah, you're not a thinking type. And you don't
That
need
makes
to be a
sense.
thinking type. We need all the types. You don't
Yeah,
need to be a thinking
exactly.
type. So fake it with sensation, you know, and just do the sensation part, and that'll look like thinking to professors, you know. Or like me, since I'm not really a thinking type, like all the papers I wrote in college and grad school and things like that, and the and I don't know how you did it, but it would be, yeah, the night before the paper is due, I stay up all night and I type one draft and turn it in.
I was a little bit more meticulous than
And
that, but I think it's because I had so many things at the same
I
time.
always got A's. And that's like, oh, you know, you're doing well in college because you must be a thinking type. But if you my papers were all intuitions. There was not a logical argument in the paper. It was an intuition filled out with this example and this example and this example. And then hope the thinking that I had helped me organize it to look like something. But it wasn't really a logical argument because I'm not, thinking is two, it is not number one.
That makes a
So
lot of sense to me.
think about that. And then you would say, like when people try to read Carl Jung, they say, this is very difficult to read. I can't even understand what this is saying. And the way he goes about it is, I can't even read this. And the answer is, it's true because he's an intuitive.
So he's just,
So
writing it
he kind of
the
has
way that
a
he,
central idea and then goes in a circle around
Around
the
the idea.
central idea. And maybe he goes around the circle four times in one paper, you know. And
So that's hard for people,
it's not step by step by step by step by step. And here's this brilliant conclusion. It's not.
No, it's a spiral. That's cool, though.
So see that part comes in, and then to finish, the A part has to do with, we haven't added introversion and extroversion to the mix of all of this. Like how does that fit in? But it's off those other scales. It is not an axis. And so if you're going to add like introversion, extroversion, I mean, I can't draw a 3D axis. I mean, you know, y yet another axis, you know, going through, which is what introversion and extroversion would be. So that the A types would be that if you're an intuitive type, you would say there is extroverted intuition and there's introverted intuition, and they're not the same thing. If you're a thinking type, there's extroverted thinking and there's introverted thinking, and they're not the same thing. And then if you're a feeling type, there's extroverted feeling and there's introverted feeling. And if you're a sensation type, there's extroverted sensation and introverted sensation.
So that's how we're getting the eight.
Right. And so that would be the eight primary types when we bring in that other axes of introversion and extroversion. And it does make a difference, like when you think about how people are, for instance, back to, let's say, Rembrandt and the 16 shades of black. Not only is that sensation, but it's extroverted sensation because it's external. He can see externally the 16 shades. That's extroverted sensation. If it was introverted sensation, some people say it's a little bit like being a hypochondriac.
Oh,
Your
really?
sensations are internal, and you are very good, if that's your number one, right? You're very good at discriminating. Oh, you know, I think I'm beginning to get a cold, or I think I'm starting to get COVID. You can tell from the sensations, and then you can discriminate and say, no, this is not like this. I know what that felt when I had COVID. This is close, but it's not the same. So I think it must be the flu. That's introverted sensation.
Internal. Oh,
That makes sense.
okay. Yeah, it's just adding a whole other functional
And
layer,
then,
basically.
but let's say that the sensation is your number four, like me. So that introverted sensation then is number four, comes through as hypochondria. I mean, in the long run, because you can't discriminate. Oh, yeah, I have a pain in my head. I must have a brain tumor.
Okay. Yeah, you just sort of jumped to conclusions
See
about what it is.
I mean, it's undiscriminating introverted sensation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you just let whatever unconscious thing come
It's an
into it.
unconscious thing. It's like, oh my God, I'm
Yeah.
going to die of a brain tumor because you're, no, like,
No. Yeah.
hey, take a Tylenol. It's okay.
I
Let's,
can
and then
get
I'm imagining on the wheel of types if you had, if your number four was actually extroverted sensation, right? Like, that would be a bit like autism.
Oh.
See, because if sensation is like details, and then because extroverted out in the world or like
Yeah.
that, it would mean that what you would pick up would be random
Right.
details.
Random details.
That
Yeah.
then you would focus on that random detail.
And it was sort of bubble up from your unconscious about the
And then
connections between them. Yeah.
other people would be very confused as to why you're so focused on this random
Random detail.
detail.
Huh. Okay.
It's like, oh,
It
I see a red car.
Right.
And then it's like, now I see all red cars. See, that's extroverted sensationing functioning, like you can't stop yourself anymore.
From seeing it.
That's what a sort of unconscious or number four function external sensation
Would be.
would be like. And again,
Huh.
introverted thinking, extroverted thinking. Extroverted
Right.
thinking then is logically the logic about the outside world.
But the outside world,
So
yeah.
like the typical thing would be that Darwin is an extroverted thinker because
Oh.
it takes this all of his details with a lot of sensation, right, of the different species, but then
Right.
the classification into, ah, now I get this huge classification system
Right.
which helps me
Right.
organize the
Organize it all.
outside,
All
no,
the details.
the
Yeah.
outside world.
Yeah. The
So
details of the outside world.
but the thinking is the theory that puts it all together.
Whereas
But that
introverted thinking like us, where it's
introverted
all
thinking
about how do we
is,
classify what's going on inside?
well, no, is a philosopher, let's say. I mean,
Okay, yeah.
a philosopher is, yeah, I'm spending all my time thinking about epistemology
For
and
Jungian psychology.
much less Jungian psychology, yes. Which is part philosophy. You see what I mean? It's like epistemology is not a thing in the world. It's not an
Right.
outside thing.
Isn't it definitely? Yeah. Oh,
But
okay.
in defense of Kant, it is very important, epistemology.
Oh,
So does that
okay.
help with
Yeah.
now that the
Yeah.
eight
So
types,
the yeah, it's really
but
four times two. It's not really
right,
quite, yeah.
four functions.
And then those two sort of flavors of introverted and extroverted.
Yes, of each function has its flavor. That's a good way to put it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, in my head, I'm relating all this to astrology. So I'm like, oh,
Well,
well, there's that Gemini coming out.
it is astrology is a system of types also,
Exactly, which is why it
right?
makes sense.
And
Yeah.
like I said, there are many systems of types. The Enneagram, people very much, like that
Yep.
kind of typology. And
Have you seen the human design stuff?
no.
No, I'll have to show you. It's
Yeah.
like they take astrology and all like it's way there's a lot. It's a lot.
Okay.
But if yeah, human design. I had to take it for a job interview. They wanted to know what my human design score was. So
Oh boy.
I don't remember anything about it except for there was one thing where it tells you a situation that is like you would thrive in, and mine was markets. And I laughed so hard because I was like, vending at markets is what I do all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, oh, maybe there's something to this.
That's a good way to finish about the Jungian typology and the Myers-Briggs is that maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dad. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me and talking about personality types and clarifying all of this information. And we'll be back with another topic next week. All
That sounds great.
right, thanks, Dad.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back next Monday with another episode. If you want more from me, Molly, you can go to my website, queenofcupsapothecary.com. If you want more from Dad, head over to History of Ideas on YouTube. As always, feel free to reach out to us at ajunganandawitch@gmail.com, or you can head over to our website, ajunganandawitch.com. We also have an Instagram. You can follow us there at A Jungian and a Witch. So thanks again for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you. And I hope you have a wonderful week.